pasuk. Perek Yud Gimel, pasuk Yudal. Vahaya. Kishal chafin chamachar limor mazos v'amarta elav b'chuzi gadol siyano Hashem imitzrayim ibeis avadish. So the pasuk describes that if your sons will ask you the question, what's going on here? Okay, this is in the parsha of the pidyon b'chor. Okay, pidyon pedra chamor. So it says when he asks you, why are we doing this? So you should explain to him that there was Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem took us out of Avdus, and it goes through the whole story that he was macho, he each apart with Shalchenu, Vayero, Goshem is called before Eretz Mitzrayim, he killed their Bechorus, and therefore he has this clue to our Bechorus, we have to be Poda. That's the explanation. So the question is, why is this the response to Kish Alcha bin Chamachar? If your son asks you the question, this is what you should explain. If it's important information, so the Torah should just say, you want to know why we do Pidyon Pedra Chamor? The reason we do Pidyon Pedra Chamor is because Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, etc., etc., right? Why do we have this introduction of Kish Alcha bin Chamachar? If your son asks you the question, this is what you explained to him. And Ba'etzem, we see that this is repeated over and over with Gabe Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, we see both in the Torah and in Chazal that the emphasis is always on the question and answer. Right? We have the four sons, right? And each one of them is a different pasuk in the Torah where the Torah says that based on the different questions, the different way that the questions are asked, there are going to be different responses about describing Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the Leil HaSeder all revolves around this issue of the questions and answers, right? The four kashas, Gemara gives different examples of ways to open up to get the kids to ask questions. You give them the klayos and egozim, right? We do all the different shinuyim in order to get the kids to ask. So again, this all just adds to the kasha. What's so important about the kids asking? Why is it that everything about Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is in response to a question? Why can't you just get up in the Leil HaSeder and tell the story? Okay, Avadim Hayinu, this is the story. This is what you need to know, right? Why does it have to be that you awaken the kids asking questions, and then once they ask the question, then you give them the explanation of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim? So the yisod of understanding the chashivus of the question in general, and then we'll come back to specifically the Gabi Yetzias Mitzrayim. So what is the derech of learning Torah? How are we supposed to approach Limud Torah? So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, it describes, it says that when you learn from the Talmud Chacham, that the way that you learn from a Talmud Chacham, it says that the Talmud Chacham should be your house should be a base vad for Chachamim. It says have misavik be'afar agleim, you should struggle in the dust of their feet. We'll see more exactly what that means. Vishota b'tzamas divrayim, you should drink up their words with thirst. Okay, so what? In Perek Aleph Mishnah Dalet. So the Mishnah here is telling us how we're supposed to learn from the Chacham. So it starts off, Mizavik Avar Glaim, you have to show respect, you have to realize your place in relation to the Chachamim. Then it says you have to be Shosev B'tzamas Divrayim, you have to drink in their words. Now, the simple pshat is that you have to absorb the Divrei Torah, right? When you drink something, it becomes a part of you. You have to absorb, you have to make the Torah a part of you. But if we're medayig the mashal that's used, it says you have to drink with tzame, with thirst. You have to drink up the words of the Chachamim with thirst. Okay, what is thirst? What does it mean when a person is thirsty? Thirst indicates that his body is chaser. Okay, now, when a person is hungry, it doesn't necessarily mean that his body needs this chocolate bar. It means that he sees a chocolate bar, it smells good, he has a tithe he wants to eat. But when a person is tsame, when a person is thirsty, that means that his body is lacking the necessary fluids. Whatever the statistics are, that your body is 90% liquid, whatever they say, right? But if a person can go for days, that people on hunger strikes go for weeks, whatever it is, without eating food, but your body runs on liquids. If you don't have liquids for a very short time, people, you know, out on hikes, Chas v'Shalom, can dehydrate, right, very quickly without the necessary liquids. Your body completely breaks down. So the nekuda of tsame is that tsame is when you realize that you're lacking something essential. You realize that there's something is missing, and then you drink it up and you absorb it and you make it a part of yourself. But it's a different type of absorption when it's something that was lacking. When once you're in a situation of something, then you get the real effect, the real impact of the drink, right? If you think about what was the best food that you ever ate. So you start thinking, this restaurant, this steak, that, right? When you think about the best drink you ever had, right? You guys are just back from Eilat, so in Yanadiyom, right? So if you you get to the top of the mountain and you were smart and you froze your water bottle at the night before, you get to the top of the mountain, you have a nice cold drink of water at the top of the mountain in the scorching heat, right? That's a geshmak drink, right? Why? Because it's betulim, because your body needs it. That's when you really appreciate something. Yeah.
which Mishnah on Perek was it?
Mishnah Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. Okay. So that's the mashal.
I also have a second question. Does it also have to do with something, not just that your body needs it, but is also something like deserving it?
By deserving?
Because, so to speak, I worked hard and I made it to the top of the mountain, so now this is something that I earned. Meaning, when I ask the question...
No, you could just be... That's not, you don't get that from the mashal. Maybe you could, but that's not, you don't see that in the mashal. So, no, but the point is that you have to put yourself in a situation of tzimon. Okay, in other words, so what's the nimshal now? What are we saying? So how do you learn Torah? You have to learn Torah with a perspective of feeling that I'm lacking. You have to feel that I'm missing something, and the Torah has the ability to be mashling me, to fill in what's lacking. That's when the Torah becomes a part of you. That's the Torah that you really internalize, and it becomes an essential part of you, is the Torah that you learn with a feeling that there's something missing, I'm lacking, I need this Torah to be mashling me. Now, this could be taken on one level, just as a general chashivus of Torah, a general, you know, realization that Torah is not an extra, it's not an additional mila, it's something essential. Every Jew, right, everyone has to have a chelik in Torah. That's the general sense of Shosev Mitzamez Divrei. But on a specific sense, this applies to each and every Dvar Torah. In other words, every time that somebody teaches you a Dvar Torah, or that you learn something, it has to be drunk b'tzimaon, which means that you have to feel like there's something here that I'm missing. I realize that I'm lacking something. And now, this Dvar Torah is going to fill in something that's missing. How do you get to that feeling of tzimaon? How do you get to the awareness that you're currently in a situation of chisaron, of lack, of incompletion? That's the chashivus of asking a question. What a question says, I realize that in this area of Torah, I'm lacking something. I'm incomplete. I don't have the full picture. Something's wrong here. Something doesn't make sense to me. That creates a tsimon. That creates a feeling that I'm missing something, and now I'm going to look for a way to be mashlim and to complete myself. That's the attitude that we need to have, and that's why asking questions is so essential. Because when a person asks a question, he puts himself in a situation of tsimon, and that's when he can really internalize the Divrei Torah. And that's the inyan legabe sipur yitzias mitzrayim. Right, this is a direct hashlama to what we talked about last week, is being that Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is all of the esodos of Emunah of Klal Yisrael, right? Exactly what we talked about from the Ramban and from Rav Moshe Shapiro, that all of the esodos of Emunah could be learned from the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So since that lesson is so essential, therefore the Torah itself and Chazal in the structure of the Haggadah established that the derech of the Mesira, of the Mesoret of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim has to be derech Sheila Tshuva. It's so important that the child of the new next generation should internalize this message and make it a part of himself, that it has to come through derech of Sheila Tshuva. If we just get up and start telling stories, we're afraid that it's just going to go in one ear and out the other. It's not going to really resonate. It's not going to really be embedded in him because he doesn't have a tzimon for this inyan. When he's asked a question, now he's open. He's waiting for an answer. Now you can fill him in on all of these essential yesodos of emunah. Okay, this is a bit of an aside, but I want to point out that based on this yesod, we can explain a seemingly very, very strange parsha in Chumash. Okay, back in Parshas Bereishis, the pasuk says, one second. Okay, the Perek Beis Pasuk Yudkas. The pasuk says, "Vayomer Hashem Elokim Lo Tov Hayos Adam Levado, Es Elo Ezer Kenegdo." He says, "It's not good for man to be alone. I'm going to make an Ezer Kenegdo." "Vayapel Hashem Elokim Tardema Al Adam VeYishan VeYikach Achas Mitzalozem VeYizkor Basar Tachtem." And Adam fell asleep, and he took the tzela and he made chav. Okay, Balik over here. What's wrong with what I just read?
There's a snachta.
What's wrong with it that I just read, Balkore?
Like, spacing out. Sorry.
The problem is that I skipped three psukim. I read pasuk yudches, and then I read pasuk chaf al. Right. What was missing? After Hashem says, then there's a whole story. And then it says he brought them in front of Adam, but you crowd him shameless, we'll call it the Hema. Right? And then he says, and Adam didn't find an Ezer Kenegdo. And then, right? So Luchor is a Pella. What do we have on this whole parsha in between? We already said Hashem decided I'm going to make an Ezer Kenegdo, so make the Ezer Kenegdo. Why do we have a whole parsha about naming the animals in between? So the pshat is based on this yesod, right? That the what was the point? What was the conclusion that Adam reached when he named all the animals? He reached the conclusion. He says, "Wait a second. There's something strange here. They all have a ben zug, and I don't have a ben zug, right?" Well, Adam lo matzel Ezer Kenegdo. All of a sudden, he chat. Wait a second, there's something missing. So Hashem already knew that something was missing. Hashem already knew Lo Tova Yos Adam Levado. But Adam didn't realize it, right? So if Hashem would have just gone and Mazel Tov, here she is, you're Basher, right? Here's your Ezer Kenegdo, right? But Adam wasn't looking for an Ezer Kenegdo. So then he wouldn't have appreciated it. It wouldn't have been a proper kesher of Ish V'Isha if he didn't realize that this was something that was chaser for him. Okay, but now that he Hashem brought about a situation where he became aware of his chisaron. So now, when you bring him the ezer kenegdo, now he appreciates it. Now he's going to make the proper kesher that he needs to have. Okay, so that's the same yesod of the tzimon, of realizing the chisaron. Only then can you really accept something. Only then are you ready to be mekabel after you've acknowledged the fact that without this you're chaser. Okay. And that's the big yesod in asking questions. That's the yesod that by the chashivus of asking the question is it makes you open to internalizing the information. Yeah.
Is that why being an onav is so important?
That's one aspect. You're saying specifically regarding the Torah. That's the mitzvah of anav is what enables you to be mekabel. Yes.
But b'shamayim here, the Torah is not from gansei ruach. Why? Because they don't realize they're like.
Right. Okay. That's one. The different nukudas. That could be one. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Now, I once heard a beautiful mashal for this inyan. One of my Rebbeim and Shalvim said over this board. I part of this I wrote up in the Akdama to one of my Svarim. So I went over him 20 years later and asked him if he gave me reshus to or whatever. Told him I wanted to quote his mashal in this Akdama to my Sefer. He said, "What mashal? I don't remember ever saying that." So we had a Rebbe Nachum from Shalvin said this mashal that he says if you go over to a wall and you take your coat and you try hanging up your coat, you put your coat next to the wall and it falls on the ground, right? Pick it up again, you put it next to the wall, it falls down. He says, but if you put a nail into the wall, right, then you put your coat above the nail and you drop it, it catches on the nail, right? So he says that's what a question is. He says that you constantly have information flying by you, but there's nothing to grab onto it. There's nothing to grab hold of the information to make a real kinyan. And this is something, once you're aware of it, you start to see it all the time. That all of a sudden, like, you had a kasha that was bothering you, and then all of a sudden you're learning a different parak, a different mesepta, and all of a sudden you see something, you say, oh, that answers my kasha. Right? And now, that piece of information, you have a kinyan on it. You're never going to forget that piece of information. Because you had a kasha, and now this piece of information can't even fill that kasha. If you hadn't asked the kasha originally, you learned 10 different ideas on that Amud of Gemara, 50 different ideas, and of them, the one thing that you're going to remember 10 years later is the one that answered your kasha. Right? Because that's the one that you have a hook to grab onto it to actually make a kinyan. And that's why it's so important as part of the process of Lima Torah to be asking questions, because that's what enables you to grab onto the information. I once heard from a lecturer for Eishet Torah that he said that he gave the discovery classes at Eishet Torah. He said when you're giving a class and there's the guy sitting up front who's you know on your case, you know, asking questions, you know, challenging everything you say, and there's the guy sitting in the back of the room just nodding and smiling the whole time. He said that the guy nodding and smiling, he has no chance of him changing himself, becoming a Baal Tshuva. He said the guy who's been fighting you tooth and nail and challenging you the whole time, he said he's the guy who might become a Baal Tshuva, because he didn't just let the information just run by him. Each nakuda, he was challenging you, he was pushing you. When he hears your answers and he's an intellectually honest person, then it's going to have an impact because he challenged it and he really was coning the information that was given. He didn't just let it just pass through.
Shekel Sidra V'Karach.
What?
Shekel Sidra V'Karach.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That exactly. That's what makes you a Makabel is the fact that you acknowledge the what's it called? You need to acknowledge that your Rebbe has what to give over. Well, maybe that's more connected to what I'm going to talk about now. Okay. Now, the Gemara uses an interesting mashal to describe the relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud. Okay, in a few places, the Chazal used the mashal of a cow nursing a calf. Okay, the Gemara brings by Rebbe when he was in the Beis HaSurim that Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai wanted to came to him and asked him to teach Torah, and Rabbi Kiva was afraid to teach him because he didn't want Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai to get in trouble with the Malchus. So the lashon he used is he says Yoser Mishaegel wrote Lido, Kaparo wrote Lahani. In other words, Rabbi Kiva was telling Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai that don't think that I don't want to teach you. I have a greater desire to teach you than you have to learn from me. But I mean, I'm just afraid because of the Malchus. And there's discussion that he convinced him to teach him anyway. And it says what teachings he gave over. So I've heard Rav Gershenfeld points out that if you're medayik the mashal, that we see that the relationship of the Rebbe to a Talmud is supposed to be like a para who is nursing the calf. Now, what is the nature of that relationship, right? The para has tons of milk, right? There's lots of milk filling the udder, right? Just picture a baby bottle, right? What would happen if you have a two-day-old baby and you take the bottle and you try pouring it down the baby's throat, right? You just get splashed, just a big mess, right? Why? Because the baby can only handle a few drops at a time, right? If you would dump all of the milk, it would just get wasted. It wouldn't be useful to the baby at all. The nature of nursing is that the baby draws out exactly the amount of milk that he's capable of digesting. So that is the nature of a proper Rebbe-Talmud relationship. Is when the Rebbe is overflowing with information, but he doesn't flood the Talmud and just throw things out just to impress and you know show that I'm a Bucky and Chaz and I can quote things from here and from there and the other place. That's not a Rebbe Talmud relationship because that information is just gonna just go to waste. It's not gonna be absorbed because the Talmud isn't ready to hear it. The proper way of being a Rebbe is to realize where your Talmud is holding and to give over exactly the proper measure of what the Talmud is capable of assimilating. And this again goes the best way to gauge this interaction is through the question and answer process. In other words, that's how the Rebbe knows that the Talmud is ready to absorb more information is when the Talmud asks the question, oh, so now you're open to a deeper understanding. That's why, in the Leil HaSeder, right, in the Leil HaSeder, the son who's a Tam, who just says Mazos, he just gets the basic explanation of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But the Ben who's a Chacham, who can ask a detailed question, who can say that he realized that there's nuances, so he gets a much more complete and detailed explanation of the halachas and all the details of Seder and Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's the gauge that the Rebbe uses to know how much the Talmud is ready to absorb. Is based on the questions that he's asking, you can see how much he's open to and how much he's capable of receiving. And I've experienced this by regression. But I would actually suggest that you use this kind of as a rule of thumb of how do you choose a Rebbe. A Rebbe is someone who, after you've heard the shiur, you go over and ask the kasha, and then they give you a whole deeper level of understanding. That means that the shiur wasn't this is my the sum total of my knowledge. The shiur was this is what I think that you're ready to be mekavel, but the Rebbe should have a storehouse full of deeper and further explanation. Right, this is how it always worked by my Rebbe in learning, Ritzvi Kuzhilevsky, by my Rebbe in Machshava, Rav Gershenfeld. That the ikar of the shir came after the shir. The ikar of the shir, the most important, the most essential information very often would come as a result of a follow-up question after the shir was given. Because the Rebbe realizes that level of precision the Talmidim aren't ready for until they ask the Kasha. Only when they ask the Kasha, then they're open to that refinement and the further clarification of the sugya. Okay. Now, I found an amazing Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni, first of all, the Gemara elsewhere darshans that it refers to Moshe and Aaron as based on the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Shtei Shadayim, the Shadayim, it says, are Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron represent this ability to nurture the child. Okay, so the Gemara gives two descriptions of how Moshe and Aaron were the cause of nursing Klal Yisrael. Okay, one it says that it's essential for Chaim that they give life. Okay, that's like it says that when you go to the Eir Miklat v'Chai, that Chaim, you need your Rebbe to be alive. That's an essential chius that you get from the Rebbe.
That's a motion Aaron gave?
Yeah.
Give life?
Yeah. Yalkut Shimoni, Shir HaShirim, Tav Kuf Peches. Okay, but now listen to this Nikuda. The Yalkut Shimoni says that just like when a mother nurses, whatever the mother eats, the baby, the lashon of the Yalkut Shimoni says, Kol ma she'isha ochelas, tinuk toim. Whatever the mother eats, the baby tastes. Now, what's explicit in the Shira, in the Medrash is the Medrash says that so to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron that they gave over Kol Torah Kula, that they didn't hold back any of the Torah. Whatever Torah they received, they gave over to Klal Yisrael. But if you're Medayik the Lashon, the Lashon is very clear, like the Hasbro that I told you from Rav Gershenfeld, that it says that whatever the mother eats, the tinuk is toim. It doesn't say that the tinuk eats whatever the mother eats, and that's the mitzvah of what nursing is. It's not whatever the mother eats, the tinuk eats. The tinuk gets a taste, gets a small little portion of whatever it is that the mother eats. That's the real relationship of Rebbe and Talmid. A Rebbe and Talmid doesn't mean that the Rebbe gives over the sum total of all of his knowledge to the Talmid. The proper relationship of a Rebbe to the Talmud is that the Rebbe is overflowing with information. And he gives over whatever the Talmud is ready in each different area. He gives over whatever the Talmud is ready to be towing. That's the way it's meant to be given over. And the truth is that this is really the mashmos, say recently from Rav Gershenfeld, that this is really the mashmos of the word Rebbe. What is a Rebbe? We talked about in the parsha by Yaakov and Esav, that Yaakov says Yishli Kol, and Esav says Yishli Rav. Rav means I have an excess. I have so much. I have more than is necessary, right? So a Rebbe is supposed to be a person who himself is overflowing with storehouses of knowledge, but is able to give it over to the Talmud in a derech of yinika, of nursing, of giving, of distilling it and bringing out, just judging based on the Talmud and based on the questions that the Talmud is asking, judging exactly what the Talmud is ready to digest and giving over in the proper proportions to what the Talmud is ready for. So that is the derech of teaching Torah of shosei b'tzama es divrayim, that the Talmud has to have a tzimon, meaning the Talmud has to be ready and be a proper kli kibul to receive the Torah. And specifically, one of the ways that we make ourselves a kli kibul is by asking questions, by challenging, by trying to get to the depths of the sugya. That's what opens us up. The more questions we ask, the more the, and again, obviously it has to be done with the right, with the proper Derech Eretz in the proper perspective, but when it's done with a tzimon of realizing, look, I don't ask the question because I want to be cool, because I want to, you know, show off my prowess, right? I ask the question because I really feel chaser. I really feel like I want to understand, and I'm stuck here. This question is bothering me. If it's being asked with a real tzimon of really wanting to get to clarity in the sugya, so then that question becomes the hook that helps us to grab onto the information to really internalize and make a kinyan on Torah.